This is the February 1 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Kirk Kimmel of AgMarket.net, Wayne Nelson from AgMarket.net, and Greg Johnson of TGM. That's TotalGrainMarketing.com. As a reminder, all three of these gentlemen will join us Tuesday, the 5th day of March at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, for the all-day Ag Outlook. We hope you will as well. Should be a fantastic day. We've been operating this particular conference since 1991. And this will be another really good one. The Farm Doc team will join us for part of the day. They'll have updated budgets and recommendations for your crop insurance decisions on that day. We'll take a look at what the value of farmland might be. And we'll hear about something we've not really discussed very much to this point in time. Rather than renewable diesel, we'll take up SAF, or sustainable aviation fuel, with the director for the Center of Sustainable Aviation here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Oh, and Aaron Hanger will be there. If you've not seen him talk about the EPA and the Endangered Species Act, you'll want to make sure that you listen in on that one. It will have an impact on what you do in agriculture in the future as it relates to herbicide. Aaron, of course, the Extension weed scientist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Let's begin with Turnaround Tuesday in this past week. Wayne Nelson, that's your day on the air with us here at the Closing Market Report. A good day. You don't see those or haven't seen them very often as of recent. I did hear something that I thought was interesting about what may have taken place. Could have been just end of the month and settling the accounts back up, and that doesn't sound like it would be very good for the marketplace in the month of February to me.
No, but that's the talk that happened afterwards on Wednesday and Thursday. Like you said, it was a darn good lots of fun to have Turnaround Tuesday that was an up instead of a down, but we did see a lot of positions. The funds were extremely short, and I think that they banked some profits. They looked in here. We made some lows. They looked at the charts, and there was some points that it did say that, hey, maybe we should could stop here, maybe we should, and they wanted to bank some of those really good profits. But then on Wednesday and then again on Thursday, they looked again and said, hey, exports aren't that good. Sales aren't really happening. Russia's planted more acres of wheat. The ratings are very good. And looks like China's going to France for some wheat offers and everything along the way. So all of those things put together is Tuesday didn't last long enough.
Hey, Greg Johnson, during the week as I was talking to the analyst, and I believe this is the right fact, but you'll have to correct me. They suggested that about half of the old crop corn was still yet to be marketed. First, is that true in your opinion? And second, is that abnormal at this time of year?
I think it's the farmers are holding on to even more than half. I think it's closer to 60% unsold at this point of the old crop corn. And yes, that is abnormal. Normally, we're a little bit over 50, probably closer to 60% sold, and this year we're only 40% sold. And it's understandable why. We had the dry summer, and farmers weren't sure what they were going to have, and by the time they knew what they were going to have, the prices had dropped, and farmers are kind of used to the higher prices that we've seen the last 2 years, and we're just in that adjustment period. We're trying to get used to 450 corn again, and we're not quite there yet, but the longer we stay sideways in this 450 type range, I think the farmers are going to get more accustomed to having to sell on small rallies rather than hoping that the market's going to get back to that $5 and $6 price level that we've seen the last 2 years.
I keep thinking about 450 corn. It's mentioned as if it's a very low price more often than not these days. However, when Darrell Good and Scott Irwin did their numbers about 15 years ago, they suggested $4.61 would be the midpoint. As it turns out, over 15 years, I think it was $4.62. So 450, while lower than the midpoint, isn't all that low. How do farmers and you put that into your minds to make better marketing decisions, Kurt Kimmel?
Well, when you look at 450 versus where we go a year ago last February in old crop, it's a big ouch right there. When you look forward on new crop projections, the board's 480, but when you look at cash at 450 in that area there, a lot of break-evens are starting to come in or cost of production at this level here, so it's a little bit more less of a cushion to work with on that. So the stress is going to be on the marketing. It looks like we've got ample moisture to start with, so production, we had trend line yields. That's the simple part of trading goals right, but the next part is trying to get the best price you can with your crop. Just to add one more thing on what Greg said there with marketing, a lot of guys were like 30% sold going into this winter, this fall. But what we found too is, yeah, they're 30% priced, but what they did is basis contracts, say on another 30%. Well, that moved into the commercial's hands. So the commercial has 60% of the crop, whereas the farmer still thinks he has that other 30%, has to price that himself. So there's a little bit of an optical illusion and logistics going on how much is actually priced and how much is in the commercial's hands.
So we often talk about strong hands, weak hands. The farmer in this position would be weak hands, though they, by the numbers, don't look that way because they feel like there's 50 or 60% of the crop that's still in the bin or in my ownership and not in the ownership of the elevator or end user system, that they still have leverage. What you're saying is you may not have the leverage there.
Well, I'm just saying that there's probably a little bit more moved into the commercial's hands if you just, you know, talk to a producer in general, but there's still a lot of grain to move. There's no question about it. There's a lot of bills coming due here as we move forward. So if we do have some strength here, it's going to be more on the board than probably in the cash. I would expect basis would widen out here over the next 30 to 45 days.
You started your commentary there by telling me that the 450, really because of the recent marketing years, feels not very good. On the soybeans, is the price better, and should producers think about pricing out new crop soybeans more likely than new crop corn at this point, just to give them a sale on the books that covers their expenses?
Yeah, we feel the beans need to be sold in through here. The demand's real slow. Exports are just, you know, in the cellar here. Thursday we saw a weekly export sales report, 6 million bushels, and there's some cancellations in through there. So it's going to be cat and mouse between now and when the South American crop comes on. But new crop here, you know, $12 plus. We've been implementing, you know, some price floors, at least get started on it. It's kind of hard to sell cash here when you still have a lot of old corn to move yet.
Todd, you're right. Fortunately, the farmer was a bigger seller of beans in the fall than he was corn. He sold most of his beans because they were at a higher price that give him cash flow money, and bigger dollars to come in and stop interest. So a lot of that has moved along the way. But I think we need to be looking not just at our old crop, but some of our new crop. As we look here, South America, you know, we're trying to say there's another 10 days of hot, dry weather. We had a lot of hot, dry weather here in the U.S., and we had an awful darn good crop. I think some of the hybrids that we have now are going to really sort of maybe pick up, and I think maybe we're going to be in a little bit of a glut situation. We're not exactly the friends of everybody in the world right now when it comes to export sales and whatever. We're battling a lot to do with, you know, Russia likes to come against us at this point in time. We're not their favored nation by any means. They're going to hurt us in wheat because they've got a big wheat crop. They've got a good wheat crop ratings. They're going to be coming into things like that. But the beans, I think, like I say, unless we can get more usage for clean diesel and SAF, the fuel for the airlines and stuff like that, we're going to have too many beans, because we're talking here today just before we come in to record this, and there's more and more people, the farmers we're talking about, they thought they'd see more beans with the corn price the way it is. So maybe some more bean acres be up besides just the low prices in the corn.
Yeah, that might put pressure on soybeans given the number of renewable diesel plants that are in the plans, but not built in capacity and availability to actually crush those soybeans. They suggest that farmers think about making new crop sales, particularly I think of soybeans, but of corn as well. have they, Greg Johnson?
No, they haven't. They're still sitting on their old crop corn and beans. So until they get rid of a little bit more of that, the new crop sales are going to be slow. But I try to encourage people to look at the U of I's Farm Doc page where they have the cost of production. And if you assume a normal crop of beans at today's prices, you can make money selling beans. So this is not going to be a year where we have triple-digit returns on triple-digit profits that we've had the last 2 years. These are going to be double-digit return profitable returns, hopefully. So we just have to lower our sights. We're not going to make as much money as we did the last 2 years. And so this is going to be one of those years where we just have to keep our heads above water and hope for better times down the road.
Just for clarification's sake, and when you do look at those crop budgets from the University of Illinois, those are on cash rented acres, so they include the land cost, but it is a cash rent in each part of the state, northern, southern, and then in central high productivity and low productivity soils. Both you can find those at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu and or on the Farm Doc site itself, farmdoc.illinois.edu. Probably best just to search crop budgets and University of Illinois. So, farmers are concerned. What do things look like on the global scale as it relates to both corn and soybeans and ending stocks? Those will be updated along with the numbers for domestic numbers from the United States next week in the WASD. We'll also get the CONAB numbers from Brazil. Those both come out on Thursday of next week.
Yeah, there's just a lot of hot spots just all around the world, production, fundamental, and political, and everything else. I think every country in the world had an election this year, I believe, or coming up. So, but as far as production goes, yeah, you're dead on the southern hemisphere. The Brazilian crop continues to be downgraded slightly. It's a process. Like a year ago, it took a long time before they dialed in that Argentina crop, and boots on the grounds down there say it's a lot worse than what they're reporting. But the flip side of it is Argentina and Paraguay is a better crop, so everybody's looking at total production in the southern hemisphere. It's just going to take time to get confirmation of that. Otherwise, you know, Ukraine continues to move grain out, surprisingly. The other thorn worldwide, when you talk world numbers, and we'll never know the numbers, but Russia continues to pump out cheaper wheat on the world market, and so there's some competition there. But moving forward here, we'll be watching some other countries, such as our Australian wheat production, and then, too, we'll watch back to the southern hemisphere the second crop of corn going in.
Some of the numbers that the University of Illinois Farm Doc team showed on Thursday during the Illinois Farm Economic Summit webinar included a 14% drop in the size of the soybean crop coming out of Mato Grosso. Some of the rest of the areas, much, much better. However, if you look back over the numbers for South America in general, the size of the Argentine crop is expected to be twice what it was last year. And that more than makes up for the difference in losses that are coming in Brazil.
Yeah, I think even with the bad Mato Grosso being poor, I think when you put it all together, it's still more beans out of South America than there was last year. And that's another reason we've seen the bean price slip. We also have seen, of course, China's been much more favorable about trying to buy beans out of South America than they are out of the U.S. We've also had other people come in looking at stuff there too. I think that China or Russia actually bought some stuff that they hadn't been buying out of South America before this last year that they had never done. So we've got all of that going on. We've got the Ukraine shipping so much grain out that Eastern Europe is trying to boycott or put something against them or extra tariffs on them because it's lowering their farmers' income on what's going on. We saw tractor blockades in Canada, you know, just all sorts of crazy things. It's not going to be the banner year for farmers like it has been the last 3 or 4 years. I think we are going to hold things together. I think the farmers are in good shape. I think the one good thing about this is they're all going into it very well financed.
There was an arbitrage this week, or last week, one of the two, where geographic arbitrage, where Brazilian soybeans came into the southeastern part of the United States. Brazil soybeans simply got low enough in price that it was cheaper to bring them in there than it was to ship from our part of the world, or Ohio, one of the two, you used to be in that business quite a bit. What did you see when you were watching those numbers come in and how that impacted prices?
Well, the rail rates in the U.S. have gone higher, and so the end users in the Carolinas and Georgia do this almost every year. They kind of send a shot across the bow, so to speak, to the railroads that, hey, we do have other sources of soybeans other than paying these high freight costs. And so every year they will import 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 cargo loads of soybeans just to kind of prove that point. Now, this year they brought them in earlier than normal. Normally this doesn't happen until March or April, and now they're already doing it in January, February. So does that augur more beans being brought in than normal, or is this just earlier, the 8 to 10 cargoes being shipped earlier? But nevertheless, it is a negative because it reminds people that Brazil beans are cheap.
Your knowledge of the rail freights and how this happens tell you we're going to have a longer season with more imports from Brazil?
Well, that's the question. They've certainly started earlier. Will that continue on for the same length of time? If so, yes, and we would see more. But maybe we're just going to get the 8 or 10 and rail rates come back down a little bit, and the end users buy the beans from the U.S. instead of buying even more from Brazil.
Do the railroads usually respond?
Not usually, no. No, they usually keep their rates about the same.
I was fine. I knew I'd get there eventually. We got to it. All right. So the railroads won't respond. Domestic usage, though, I think has been good. The crush has been good for soybeans in the United States.
It has been, yes. Ending stocks are tight, 6% here in the U.S. Is our stocks use ratio. That's the good news. The bad news is world stocks are extremely high. Stocks use ratio, just the opposite on corn. We've got a big surplus here. Stocks use ratio of 15-16% on corn in the U.S., but worldwide it's 10% or less. And exports in corn have been good on a weekly basis. We're ahead of pace. Soybean export pace, we're behind pace. So those are all factors on the demand side that is keeping funds, keeping end users from really rushing out and buying. You know, we just need to see some demand show up, some real demand show up, and that hasn't happened as of yet.
Yeah, Greg pretty well hit the nail on the head. Just one thing to add, though, with all this moisture, barge freight ought to be a lot cheaper now. We got these rivers filled up, and fast it ought to be getting grain down to the Gulf fairly quickly. In fact, we did see a few cargoes or a few loads shift to the Gulf here, so it'll be interesting to see which way that goes.
Yeah, as those have opened up, and mild weather means that the ice flows may not be there, and keeping things closed for the river upper Mississippi River system. We'll have to wait through that just a little bit. I'm wondering then, as you talk to producers, what is it they're feeling at this time? And I know you've all talked about this when you're talking with producers, but are they fearful? Are they panicking? Are they holding the line? Where do they stand?
They're bullish. They want to hang on to this. They still think this market is coming back. I say, you don't want to make another margin call, do you? Yeah, how much do I owe? It's one of the things that goes on. What we find during times like this is the people that don't have positions aren't calling, and generally don't pick up the phone if you call them. They don't want to hear that things aren't looking good and they want to do this. It's sort of the head in the sand, like the ostrich at times like this. But I think that, they're looking. There's a few of the advisory firms out there that are giving them hope. Not many of them that way. I know that a lot of the ones that we watch have said, hey, price some here, price some there. When they had the turnaround this week, they covered some, they turned around and resold it today. They're watching, they're watching chart points and seeing how things go. But there's a lot of people. Now, I saw probably 20, 30 semis on the road today on the way over here today, which gave me a little hope that there is some grain moving and people are being a little smarter than I think some of the rest of them are. But the lines aren't there like they were 2 months ago.
Can you channel your inner Paul Cooley as it's related to the psychology of the market and really how the market reacts at this point, meaning what farmers, end users, and the outside markets will do based on what the situation feels like?
Well, for right now, Todd, I'm here to tell you that 20 years ago, the markets wouldn't have reacted like this, because when there wasn't any farmer movement, when we were looking ahead and they didn't have inventory on hand, we might not have seen the board go up, but we would see the basis come in because the commercial would want to own it. What we're seeing today is funds guided by charts, guided by AI, guided by intensity of what the trade's looking like, that, and they're pushing this market down, and they can have bigger positions than they used to have, and we're having the managed money is keeping this market lower than what it would be if it had been years ago.
Just to follow up on that, these managed funds are putting their money in the stock market and equities, and we're making new highs in the Dow, the S&P, the NASDAQ, and there's less money to be invested in commodities. If the stock market would break and some of that money would come out of the equities, we may see that come back into commodities, but that's not happening right now.
Yes, but the price should be the price based on what the consumer, the end user, is expecting. Are you telling me that there's more push in the marketplace today because of?
The funds not only are, it's not that they're just not participating, they're actually participating from the short side. Of all the funds that are trading, 70% of the managed money is short. So they've sold something that they don't have, hoping that the farmers will sell and push it even lower, and then they will buy back at a profit. Typically, when we get to 70% short funds, we've historically bounced. So we're waiting for that bounce, but we really need some fundamental demand, some real demand, to cause the funds to buy back that short position. And that's not happening as of yet.
How long can the funds hold out?
Well, forever. They got trillions and trillions of dollars, and I've got a $500 margin call, so it's tough. They're in that mindset. They've got good financial backing. They got good financial plans, and they can stick with it for a very long time until the bullish story develops to give them reason, or the technical picture turns the trend back up on a longer-term moving average scenario. Short-term in here, the corn chart's got a little bit of a double bottoming through here. We can't get through those 20-day moving averages, so if we can get a little giddy up in here a little bit, maybe we can have some short, a little bit more short covering from the funds, but we got to get above some downtrend lines and give them reason to buy instead of sell.
Now, I believe in the marketplace, so I'm going to go back through this because I don't want to give the impression to the listeners that the market is too low at this point based on the fundamentals in play, but that there's a lot of money on the table that can move the markets in one way or the other. Am I right or wrong on that impression?
Well, you're very right, Todd. I mean, the way that we look at it here right now is they're pushing. Now, there's going to be a point where pushing isn't going to happen just because the money is selling it off there, because there is going to be profit in feeding cattle, feeding hogs, selling meal to foreign countries, selling food to different countries that way. And it's going to come at a point when it's, you know, financially sound to do things, to process corn for ethanol, to process beans for renewable fuels, to process beans for feeding other livestock and like that. But we have been a little bit inflated over the last couple of years. Farmers have made much more money than usual. I mean, if you went over a 40-year time period, there's not 10 years that you make the kind of money we've made over the last 10 years in general. So, I mean, it's going to come down, and it's going to be worth what it's worth. But right now, the funds are pushing it a little bit past the point of what it could be. And we do feel that somewhere down the road, it is oversold as you look at a chart, but it isn't oversold enough that we brought new money in, and that's what we're looking for.
So again, the question, as he addressed, is about the marketplace getting to the right price and whether just the outside money can actually push it around for a very long time, as opposed to for a short time when it happens to move, for instance, on a turnaround Tuesday.
Yeah, if you look at the long-term charts, we're still higher than what we have been over the last 5-10 years. So if you assume we plant 92 million acres of corn this year and we harvest 91.5% of that and we have 180 bushel yield, that's a 15.2 billion bushel crop. Demand is 15 billion bushels, so we're going to add 200 million to the carryout. The carryout's 2.2, let's say. That'll make it 2.4. That means corn's probably $4. So at today's 450 price, we're still high, and we could go lower. Now, hopefully we have some weather scares, some demand along the ways, but, the price of corn usually varies 75 cents to a dollar. So we might have $4 lows and $5 highs, and here we are right in the middle at 450. And we could see both before it's all said and done.
Yeah, very well said. If you go to the raw fundamentals, in order to be bullish corn, you got to carry out down to a billion bushels. Be bullish beans, you got to carry out down to 150 million bushels. But you look at the current supply-demand balance sheet, that's not the case. It's a great hit on. You throw these numbers, old crop into new crop, with the acres projection and trend line yields, we're talking 2.9 on corn and maybe 400 on bean carry out, depending on how demand unfolds. But if you plug that into some of these commercials projections, Greg's a little too high on his price. Some of them are down to 375 on corn, and that's a bummer.
Let's turn back to Wednesday. The cattle inventory numbers came out. They showed historically low numbers for beef cattle in the United States. What impact does that have?
Well, you always like to have a lot of numbers for feed consumption. You know, feed consumption's huge. That is a miscellaneous category. It's a moving target, but you want strong feed usage. Now, on numbers, that's skewed a little bit because producers are feeding to heavier weights now, so one might offset another, and I don't have those calculations in my head. But the other number is heifer retention. So we're still not rebuilding the beef herd just yet. The numbers were like 2% less. They were looking for about 2.4% less. So it's important to keep the livestock guys profitable, to keep that feed consumption and have them put on weight.
If you're interested in those numbers, I'm privy to the fact that on Monday of this coming week, the Farm Doc team will address the cattle inventory numbers, and we'll probably have the audio from that as well to run during the closing market report on that day, not long after Kurt Kimmel joins us for that particular program. Let's wrap up at this point and get a final word from each of you. I'll start Wayne Nelson from AgMarket.net in Newmarket, Indiana, with you today.
Well, I think that if you got a lot of corn in the bin, most people don't have a lot of beans in our area. Most of them have a lot of corn. I think you need to move some of it along now and just say, hey, it's time to check my bin. Don't let it go bad on you. I think that they need to look ahead to some sort of strategy for a portion of the new crop, but at least get started. You know, whether it's buy a call or sell a call, buy a put, and, you know, give them something to shoot at for that short call. I think that that's something they should be looking at. And, you know, we can start at 10 or 20%, but I think we need to get started on new crop marketing.
Greg Johnson from TGM, TotalGrainMarketing.com, your final word?
December corn closed in the 480 range. If you assume a normal amount of acres and a normal yield, I could argue for 420 corn this fall. As Kurt said, maybe even lower. If we have some weather problems, either with the Safrina crop or with our own crop, we could maybe see 520 if it's not a full-blown drought. So 420 to 520 is the range, 470 is the middle, and we're at 480. So we're above the midpoint. So just keep that in mind when you're making your decisions on whether to market grain or not.
And Kurt Kimmel from AgMarket.net in Normal.
If old crop inventories are like moving it, stop storage and interest particularly, and do some replacement strategies. New crops, pretty simple, just put a price floor in it. But the main thing we're watching, or you heard the old saying, oats knows. I know you guys can't see this, but oats have basically been going sideways here since November. So whichever way oats goes here, I'll let you all know.
We'll ask you on Mondays on the closing market report. Kurt Kimmel is with AgMarket.net. Greg Johnson is with TGM. And Wayne Nelson also is with AgMarket.net. You've been listening to Commodity Week from Illinois Public Medium. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org. And there today you can register for the All Day Ag Outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. The cost is just $40, and that includes your Beef House lunch and something you cannot get on a regular basis at the Beef House because they're not open for breakfast, but they have fantastic cinnamon rolls. You arrive early, you'll have a cinnamon roll and coffee as well, and then the Farm Doc team will be there. We'll talk about SAF, or sustainable aviation fuel, and how it works into policies that have been put into place in Washington, D.C., and the price of farmland. And you need to be there. Willag.org. Register today. The cost is just $40. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.